I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to this when you think you know the answer to this TV trivia question. Hint, number one, it was a popular TV show in the 90s that featured a guy in a tool belt. Okay, you just ruined the whole thing. Thank you. No. No, it's okay. So, what was the name of the show? Home Improvement. There you go. All right. So this show was about called Home Improvement. It was a show about Tim the Toolman Taylor. And he would always try to build things, only to see them fall apart or blow up. And he never knew what was really going to happen on the show. It was a really popular show. Now, I know less today about tools than Tim the Tool Man, so I'm going to talk a little bit about tools, but you can call me Tool Man Todd if you'd like, or probably the pastor of disaster might be a little bit closer to the right thing, because I really do not know tools. Now, welcome to our series. This is week 3 of the Bible called The Bible Inspired or Expired. If we're going to build a belief system for our broken lives, we better figure out what the Bible is to our lives and what the Bible isn't. Now, I introduced the idea a couple weeks ago that we have belief bubbles that we center our lives around. There are things that we believe strongly, and there are things that we believe just kind of in his opinion, less important things. The center bubbles are for the most essential things, and as we move outward the circles, we move towards less important beliefs. We all have these. We all live our lives by these. And the first week I talked about how Jesus is at the center of the circles. It's a center bubble. Okay? Now, it's everything we believe at the church focuses around Jesus. As we move outward, the second bubble, you could probably put in the whole Bible in that second bubble because we believe it's inspired by God. Every last word of it is inspired. But let me put this a different way today. God, or Jesus, is the carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter, right, in his lifetime growing up. And we are his project. And even though we are his project, we actually have some say, some input on how much God will use us, God will repair us, or how much, you know, we have some control over how much God does to change our lives. Now, there are a number of tools when you're in the carpentry that are helpful when you try to do things, but there is one tool that's at the center of everything. It's the very first tool you probably get in your house. It's called the claw hammer, right? The claw hammer is great for building things, for smashing things, for pulling out the mistakes that you made. It's good for building up the biceps. And if something just doesn't fit right, you just hit it harder, right? That's the way you, Tim the Tool Man, used to grunt. So the Bible is our basic claw hammer in our lives, right? And it's the tool God uses to both break us down and to build us up. At one minute, the Bible will tell you something like, you are a terrible sinner and you are deserving to go to hell. Whoa, that pretty much breaks me down. The next minute, the Bible says, well, you are a wonderfully created child of God, and he loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and he builds you back up, right? It's the hammer in our lives. Both are part of God's breaking down, building up process, this the journey through the Bible. It helps reshape us. But it doesn't always give us clear answers to every single question, every single problem that we have in our lives. When it comes to issues of politics, sexual roles, immigration, war, terrorists, solving world hunger, we don't always 100% sure know what the Bible tells us to do. There seems to be some disagreement over what the Bible says on certain ones of these issues. Now, the first thing we have to understand is, if we really want to address the problem of understanding the Bible, is that the major problem of the Bible, the first major problem, has more to do with our ignorance of the Bible rather than any omission that the Bible has. Okay? So, in other words, the main problem has more to do with that we don't know what it says than it has to do with the Bible actually omitting something. Now, there are certain things that it doesn't address, but the first issue we have to talk about is we just don't know what it says. Now, Jesus dealt with two groups in his time about people who had a misunderstanding of the Bible too. And they were called the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And you might think that those people don't really exist today, but you would be wrong. Now, they don't exist exactly. We call them something different. But our society still has tons of people who think like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were conservative people. They believed in the written law. But basically what the Sadducees were like lots of people who believe that God started it all and the Bible has some history in it of how the world began. But they really don't believe much that God's doing anything today or that there's anything going on supernatural. There's no death. There's no life after death. There's no angels. There's no miracles. And how Jesus addressed the Sadducees is he said, folks, you're just ignorant. You're ignorant. When they asked about eternal life, Jesus replied in Luke 10:26, he said, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he would continue to challenge them. Like, you don't know the word of God. He would challenge them again in Mark 10:3 and Mark 12:26. So we must ask ourselves, does the Bible not tell us, or do we just not know what it actually says? Is Jesus telling us today the same thing as he told them in Matthew 22:29? He says, you are greatly mistaken because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. So let me put this in today's tool time language. It's like when we say our prayers, sometimes we say, okay, God, help me. Okay, God, fix me. Use me. And we say that, but we never open up the Bible. Or we never pick up, in a sense, his hammer. Can you relate to that? I've been guilty of that myself here and there. Certainly. The other group was called the Pharisees. Now, Jesus had more than a few problems with the Pharisees. And let me see if you think those people exist out there today or in here today. The Pharisees were good rule followers, which is not a bad thing, but that led to a few problems. First of all, they were prideful. They thought they were above everyone else. So they kind of used the Bible to kind of create a hierarchy in which they were above. So second of all, they were hypocrites. They followed the words of the law, but ignored the heart of the law. They would recite scripture, but only to be better than those who didn't. It's like showing off your knowledge, but that's what you did it for, to show off. But finally, the Pharisees elevated their traditions, their own man-made traditions, to either equal to or better than God's word. It's a good thing churches don't do that today, right? I'm afraid we can be guilty of that. Simply add to the word of God through our traditions, and we pass them down from generation to generation. So in tool time language, that would be, imagine doing tricks with a hammer, maybe having three and you're juggling. Maybe you get a brand new hammer. It costs $37. You're like, whoa, look at my brand new hammer. It's gold, you know. Or maybe you bring some other tools in the mix, but you really never apply the hammer. You never really use it. That's what we do sometimes with God's word. We need to embrace it. We need to use it. So let's talk about three ways people build things. You ever order some kit in the mail, or you buy it at the hardware store, and you open it up and like, oh, it's overwhelming. How hard is this going to be to put together? And then you open up the instructions and they're like in four different languages and they're all right together and you can't even hardly figure out what it says. And people build at least three different ways. Now, some people are like totally into instructions, right? They're going to do it right. Like, they will read every little flyer that comes with the package, every little mail-in coupon thing or every little register for warranty or everything. They will lay out their tools just like they did in the diagram, and they're going to make sure that they do this right. Then there are those who, I'll glance at the manual. Maybe I'll ask my guy friend over here that maybe put together one that was a couple years ago that was similar. We'll figure it out, but I'll just ask for a little help when I need it. Right? And then finally you get the person who is just totally like, I don't need any help. I can do this. I'd like to add my own flair anyways. Right? They would be the true Tim the Tool Man way to do it, right? Just figure it out yourself. Well, did you know that's pretty similar to that we read the Bible? There are three general ways we can read the Bible. You have those people say, you just read it and you just do it. And again, I can admire those people. I mean, to even try to do everything in the Bible. That's pretty cool. Now, we should do our best in many ways to live out every Old Testament, New Testament law. But there's dangers there. And we have to be careful. Now, I admire that approach, but you can say that even Paul didn't live by that approach. I mean, he, as the New Testament church was formed, they struggled to figure out, do we need to circumcise the Hebrews? And I mean, not just the Hebrews, but the Romans and the Greeks. And do those people need to be circumcised? And then he says this in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. He says, though I am free, I belong to no one. I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like the Jews to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though myself, I am not under the law. So as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. So as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I became all things to all people, so that all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in his blessings. Aren't you glad that we don't live out every single issue of the Bible in regards to greeting each other with a holy kiss, right? That might prevent some people from coming to church if we did that. Then there are those, so see, they figure we have to adapt to the tradition and culture or the denomination's viewpoints. But that can be dangerous too. And finally, you have people that just think, oh, I'm going to figure it out myself. I'll read the Bible, I'll see what it says for me, and they're not even going to listen to any other tradition, or they're not going to listen to any other way of doing it. They're going to figure it out themselves. And again, there are dangers in each three of these messages. First of all, if you let culture dictate everything of value in the Bible, then you have a dangerous, dangerous mindset that you could fall into. Well, they could all be explained away. We don't have to do any of it. Now, certain people, we combine certain methods. We'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But all three of these scriptures have their pros and their cons. We can go by our Wesleyan tradition, we can go by our personal opinion, or we can just try to do everything it says. We can fail to adopt the word to our culture, or we can fail to remain true to the Bible itself. Either one is dangerous. But no matter how we address it, we must always be able to say, the Bible, it always works in every age and in any language. The hammer will work in any culture and any time. At some point, if they make some new way to do it that's easier, great. But this will still work. And the Bible will work in your life. It's reliable. Now, we may switch what the hammer looks like. You have probably different hammers for different jobs and size-wise, or, you know, if they make it rubber, like they make it like a mallet. But it's still the same idea. Now, the Wesleyan viewpoint is that we really have four tools that we use. So you could say it's the hammer, saw, tape measure, and screwdriver if you want to. But the Wesleyan view is that we use four methods. Tradition, the Wesleyan tradition that we've learned from generations of wise people passing down. We have our own personal reasoning process that our minds, God given us these gifts to use. That our minds are meant not to just ignore our reasoning. We have our personal experience that our life has taught us certain lessons, and God has used that to teach us things. But our primary tool, our most important tool, is the Scripture. See, our faith is a revealed faith. And the Bible is the way that God has revealed it. There are some revelations in life that God has not revealed to us. So we must be careful when we start to assume or we start to interpret certain things the Bible says that maybe we're not sure it says, or that we shouldn't be sure it says. However, there are other things we should know for sure that's the Bible is very clear about. And it's very important as Christians to start to separate which are those that are essential and which are those that are maybe interpretation-oriented. Maybe I don't know which tool to use exactly to understand this Scripture. Maybe I'm applying this tool in the wrong way. After all, if you hammer something too hard, you can do more damage than good. There are certain issues. There's one issue in the Bible that people always used to support a certain issue that I won't go into today. But I think it definitely supports the issue, but I don't think it's proof. And if you like that type of controversial discussion, you could join my Sunday school class next week if you don't already have one. But there are certain things we must be careful of. There are some things the Bible is very clear and foundational on. They go in that smallest bubble. There are other things that belong in the outer circles. My friends, this is a job that needs to be done you on a personal level. It needs to be done on a group level. You should never study the Bible totally alone, but you should always include that personal study in what you do. You got to just dig in. You got to just try it. The great thing about the Bible is it will say something for you now, but it will add layers and layers of depth every time you read it. There'll always be something new. Maybe you'll gain a greater understanding. Maybe God will give you a different insight. But you got to dig in. It's timeless. It will always serve you well. No matter what time you're in, what generation, it is the tool God has given us. If you do prayer and Bible reading, you have started to build your foundation. And so often, you know what happens when you build a house and you don't have a good foundation? I don't know, because I don't know tools and building, but that's what they say. You better have a good foundation. Do you see yourself when you read about the Sadducees and the Pharisees? Do you see yourself explaining away sometimes God's power or not knowing His word? Or do you see yourself sometimes as caring more about tradition than you do the word of God? Becoming prideful, becoming hypocritical in how we apply the word of God. It can happen to all of us. And, you know, from anybody in the back of the sanctuary to me at the front, we can all get there. My friends, there are things that we can disagree on, and that's okay. And there are things that we must remain committed to and to agree on. Have you heard the Bible verse where it says the Pharisees would strain a gnat and swallow a camel? In other words, we let something in the outer bubble divide us. And we end up not obeying something in the foundational teaching of the core. We let something that is subject to interpretation divide us, and we fail to live out the essentials. Let me give you the essential here. There's one of them right here. John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. But you know what? That's not very easy, is it? Sometimes. So what we do is we'd rather hang up and get really hung up on these outer issues and really attack those, because maybe those we can create some type of easy, okay, this is easy. I can do this one, or I can make a point for this one. At the same time, we have a hard time doing the basics, don't we? Just loving people is hard. But there is no greater thing you can do. Don't let this mess up this in your life. And if you read God's word, it will become clear what's most important. And what are some things you just need to chew on for a while? You need to talk about. You need to read other people's viewpoints. You need to explore. But not to be divided over those issues. So I call the worship team up this morning to close. Next week, we're going to turn the page here because it's our final week. And I'm going to encourage you next week to, if you have your own personal Bible, to bring it. Now, if you use a phone app, if you use a Pew Bible, those will work. Those will be fine. But if you have your own personal Bible, that would be ideal for next week. Some people bring it anyways. And what I'm going to do is we're going to open God's Word together at times. And we're going to bring together how it affects our heads, our hearts, and our souls. So that a Bible doesn't just become a thing that is dry as dust we put on the shelf, but it becomes alive, living and active in our lives, that can move us to tears, that can sharpen our minds, that will hopefully give you some sense of experience which you can have each and every day when you meet with your Creator, when you open God's Word.